I was gonna say another statement about Clarko.
No, I'm not gonna say it.
Because it gets me in trouble.
You can't
every
say
time.
That what? To people.
Hang on.
He
what
signed
is
a 5-year deal at Collingwood.
Oh, you are a goose.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
Oh, no Bernie Vince today, but we will plough on because we are fighters. We're a team. You've still got the A-graders here. The Crows, is it the worst ever performance? Gee, Jars, I heard you on Saturday morning on Triple M. You were fiery. And you didn't hold back when you interviewed Paul Seedsman either.
Did he
we'll get to
up
that in just
time
a moment.
For Saturday morning,
he
Jazz?
Did actually, he did, funnily okay. enough.
You know what? I was.
Nah, keep going. No car troubles this week. Port Adelaide still can't beat a top side. Some strange selections, according
was
to
you. Was
that a
good loss? You said you hadn't had a good loss. A bad loss.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't a good loss.
He started
we'll get to that. We'll get okay. to that. And my prayers have been answered. Stephen Hawking's gone. What's the future of the AFL?
Oh, Ray, you better.
Did you? Is this your
plenty
doing? Are you taking some credit for this?
It's taken a while, but I got him. I want Stephen Hawking sacked. He's got no idea. This bloke is derailing the game that we loved and grew up with. How many stupid changes can he possibly implement and just stuff this game up?
Did you get him?
Yeah, I sent the henchman around.
Oh, I think it's a big loss to AFL football, to be quite honest with you.
No, you don't. Yes, I do. Well, let's start with that because I want to talk about the Crows, obviously. What on earth has he brought to the game?
Can I tell you one thing? 666, I reckon, is really good for
Very
the game.
Very good. Love it.
I think 666.
And you know what? Tell me this. Hang on. There's something wrong with your sport if you have to start manufacturing things like that to make it a good game. That's not his job to come in and change stuff like that. That is up to the players, the coaches, and the fabric of the game to work that out.
No, but I think the players and the coaches had moved against the fabric of the game in creating the flooding and the repositioning of half your team. Whereas the 666 has said, hey, let's get back to basics of what this game's all about. Mm.
Let's have a listen to what Andrew Dillon from the AFL said.
Yeah, look, well, you know, big shields to fill in the interim with Hock. He did so much for the game in his 4 years.
Yeah.
Look, you know, navigating the challenges of COVID off-field, improving the game on-field with the 666 model. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's even speeding up the game with a man on the mark a little more. I think we can all agree the game, honestly, has never looked better.
Oh, that's the stupidest comment.
Hey, mate, that's Andrew Dillon.
The game has never looked better. What are you watching, Andrew Dillon? What fair dinkum are you watching?
What about the game last night, North Melbourne and the Eagles? Wonderful game to watch. Free-flowing, fast
footy.
Yeah,
we can pluck the odd game. Always been crap games. There's always been good games. He thinks it's the best it's ever looked. What? Sack him now.
Scoring's up.
Don't let him take
Scoring's
over the
job. Up.
Hang on.
There's
going to
be no one at the AFL.
So, damn.
What?
Hey, so what are your... Give us your top three issues.
Yeah,
because there must be 100.
What's
give
wrong?
Us your top three issues with Hawking.
His name.
Everything he's touched. No, everything. The tribunal's a disgrace. It's a farce. We never know. It's the most inconsistent thing I've ever seen. The stand rule is embarrassing. That's an embarrassment. When you have to manufacture rules like that, that is absolutely embarrassing.
But Andrew Dillon, who spends his life looking at these things, has just told us that it's the best the game's
ever
looked.
They have to say that. They've got to sell the dream.
Mm.
It's not the best it's ever looked. There's no way in the world. What do you? I'll throw it back at you. What do you like about the game at the moment?
I do like the standing on the mark rule because the ball moves a little more freely. Doesn't
yeah, two
it?
Goals, nine. The Crows kicked with it. That's how good it is.
I don't think it was the rules that helped the Crows.
Now, that's free flowing.
Just so you know, Dits,
just calm down.
That wasn't Andrew Dillon. That was one of our sales reps.
You've been pranked, Lodge. You've been pranked. I've never seen you go red in a matter of seconds. Flogs, all of you. I had nothing to do with it. I tried to stop it.
That was Gunner out there.
Bloody Limo. Andrew Dillon hasn't even spoken to us. Gorgie fed
up. Who's going to take over anyway while we're talking about it?
Don't put anyone in there. You don't need it.
Well, you've got to have someone to drive the footy department.
What do you mean you don't need it?
Because he keeps Hocking, if you're still there, keeps finding things
to
justify his job.
Won't it be Brad Scott? Is Brad Scott going
to Brad
anything?
Scott there, Rupert? Or what about
honestly,
Mark Evans?
I swear to God, I have no idea. Yeah. I've been on all those and worried about it. But Brad's got to be
he's up there.
Someone, if he doesn't want to go back into coaching, then they'd consider. But I'm not saying he'd be good at it or not. I don't know.
Could Mark
about
Evans
him.
go back into that position from the Gold Coast?
I think they AFL probably want him to try and sort out Gold Coast.
But what's the job description? Yeah. What is that person supposed to do?
The job description
is
ruin the game.
That's it. And therefore, he's done a great job. Stephen Hocking, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Holding the ball's going well. Umpiring's never been better.
You've got me.
Bouncing the ball. They're all the things he's supposed to get right.
Well, he hasn't.
I know, but I'm saying the person that goes in there, Ditz, has got to get it right. Umpiring, rules.
How did the holding the ball rule, how did it end up where it is now? How did that happen?
Maybe that is because, the feedback is we want the game to keep going.
Moving,
and when
yeah.
they stop it, it stops it. You know what I mean? But it's very, very frustrating. Gee, sometimes... Oh, I don't know. It's been a frustration for two
years.
Well,
something that's been said a million times. I don't get to see SNFL every week, but I watch Port and Norwood on the weekend because I was home on the couch.
Yeah.
Umpire the way they umpire SNFL.
Brilliant.
They just let it go, don't they?
Yeah, I agree.
It's brilliant. And Shane Harris, who's been here for a long time, AFL should get that man and put him at the helm.
Stephen Hocking's last rule that he'll implement before he departs, last touch out of bounds.
Well, he's not going to implement a rule. He's not even. He can't implement you.
No, he's going to. No, the last rule. He said the last rule he's going to bring in is when someone gets a free kick or they take a mark.
Free kick, Geelong.
Everyone has to freeze.
Yeah, that's it.
You're not
let the boat run the full length of the field and have a crack.
Well, everyone freeze until the umpire yells unfreeze.
Yeah. Well
is
done.
Is it okay for his brother to get the job?
Ooh,
Steve Hockey. No, Brad's... Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah. Well done. You got your wish. He's gone.
Chris
he's gone.
All right,
he's gone to the Geelong Club.
Let's focus on your mob that you're in charge of, Roo. Your job down there.
Yeah, I'm in charge, yeah.
Well, you're Mr. Football down at the footy club.
No, I'm not. I'm a board director.
And what's your portfolio?
He's one of many. I don't oversee day-to-day stuff.
And he doesn't see the performance. He doesn't run that. But
well, then what are you doing as football's your portfolio? What are you doing then?
Do you... I sit and... give advice or give bits and pieces, but I don't train them and play them.
No.
So that sounds to me like whenever there's a terrible performance, you step way back and go, I've got nothing to do with
that. It's nothing to do with me.
And then when they win, Lima.
What I will say is the worst performance for the year. Clearly, they've had two bad performances of the year. One was GWS when they got absolutely out-muscled around the ball by a classy midfield. That was a disappointing game. This game was horrendous from the start to the finish. It was hard to watch. It looked like they were trialling a new game plan, which obviously didn't work, and it didn't get better as the game went on. It was just terrible. It was a shame for Friday night football. It was bad for the club, and the players would be embarrassed about it.
The game should have been at 4:40 on a Sunday afternoon. So shame it was on Friday night.
But the last game they played was really good. Like against Brisbane, they played good footy, and that was clearly their worst game.
See, serious question: if you do try a new game plan, do you have to commit to it for a full game, or do you?
No, not at all. But the mail is, and we asked Tex today that they weren't trying a different game plan. They were trying to keep possession of the ball, but they weren't meant to move the ball as slowly as they did.
Our young group has been we've been able to play a little bit differently depending on what team, and obviously on the weekend we wanted to maintain possession a lot more, but Essendon were too good, and where we turned the ball over, we weren't able to defend the ground, and they were able to score quite easily. So yeah, it was quite disappointing for us as a footy club.
That's what Tex said this morning, didn't he?
Yep. But Zach Merritt said that what the Crows were doing was to try and keep possession of the footy.
Mm. And that's what they did. Looking at it, you would have swore they were trying something totally different. It was hard to watch,
but
wasn't it, Jazz?
I was gutted. Like, I've never, and I was very vocal on the Dead Set Legends, but that's more purely from a past player who is passionate about the club, and then seeing that performance, how can you play indoors and kick two goals? What's happened to the Adelaide Crows DNA from day one, and it continued on with Blighty, is fast football, attacking football, through the corridor, play on at all costs.
And that's how they have been playing for the year. They haven't been chipping it around the back line all year.
But why would a coach come out and come out? Why would they implement a strategy against the Essendon Football Club who plays similar style of football? Why don't you just back in, just play shootout, let's go and take them on their deck. Why wouldn't we have that mindset going into that game when the mindset was,
retain possession so they don't hurt us on the scoreboard.
Yeah, but yeah, well, that's what I thought, Jars, looking at it. But if you, and I haven't interviewed Matty Nix since then, but they said they didn't try and do it differently. The players.
Well, I watched a young group last night, North Melbourne, and I actually sat there and I've gone, now I know what they're doing with the footy. Mm. I know his role. And their kids have developed a lot better than some of ours.
Yeah, what about West Coast? Did you see them last night?
Oh, they're banked old and tired.
So why are they allowed to have a bad night and get beaten by the bottom side on their home deck? Yeah,
they were terrible. Oh, that was a terrible
performance. Bad games do happen.
Oh, absolutely. Don't
and get
me wrong.
You've been involved in them. I've been involved in them. Plenty. Hawthorn got beaten by Freo down in...
Plenty. Yeah,
Freo have never won down in Tasmania.
No. Oh, we're tanking for draft picks, though.
But, Drew, right. Matty Nix came in and said, what you'll see in this jumper is contested footy, ferocious attack on the ball, fierce pressure, fierce tackling pressure.
And you've seen that for 80% of the year.
Oh.
70, 80% of the year for a young side, I think you have.
But it should be 100% of the year.
You never played right 100% of the time. I never played
right
100%
of the time. But I always
made sure
I gave a contest and chased and tackled.
Not every week you didn't. One week you didn't play.
That's true.
Remember, you pulled out before the game started.
I chased Tony Shaw, all the slow buggers. I got rooted going.
I think if they have one bad game like they had on the weekend and they fix it up next week, it's not so bad.
But if they don't,
then you have to ask questions about what's going on, which you'd be asking about at West Coast at the moment, which has happened a few weeks now.
Any positives from the weekend?
Only Schonberg's performance, I thought, was quite good when he shut down Darcy Parrish.
Terrific.
One of the, I reckon that was nearly the only.
But I don't want him to be a tagger. He needs to be an offensive, genuine mid.
It's a great way for young mids to learn how to chase,
and
to position, to work. To get into the game, I think it's a great way to do it.
One positive for mine from the weekend. The Crows beat Richmond. Well, the previous lowest score for the year was 2-10, and you guys got 2-9.
I thought
also
a positive. I thought the warm up was very good.
They
were clean.
Positive for you is it would have taken away how
some
poor.
Of your,
we'll get to poor.
Well,
don't worry. Hang on.
Flat track bullies, mate. Hang on. We're getting to that. We're still talking about the Crows for the moment. Tom Duday spoil. Some commentators very outspoken about this. Surely you don't take courage out of the game. Some commentators, well known, said it was stupidity.
Stupid. I think they were saying it was not that he is stupid. Well, the way I took it was there's just no point putting your body on the line when there's not much to gain.
Oh, I disagree. No. I loved it. I loved it. This is your, you are an expert in this field. I'm really surprised you say that.
No, that's what they were saying. And I sort of get it. But I've never, ever been involved in a football club or a team where they've tried to change the way a player plays. Yeah. Like, if that's the type of player he is.
Let him go.
But there are players that have had continual concussions that end up missing the game. Now, Tom Duday's missed a lot of football.
Mm. But that's more soft tissue, though, than concussion.
Well, he's had knees, he's had hammy tendons, he's had all sorts of injuries. When there's nothing to gain out of it in a game like that, is it worth the risk of the upside?
What if you take short steps and pull out? That doesn't look good.
No, but you know when there's a high risk of yourself getting injured. I'm not saying he should, but it's a discussion that's starting to happen. Yeah.
So if it scores a level, it's a prelim final, you run full on
exactly.
In. But if it's
big
round
game,
two and you're 10 goal down.
I disagree with that.
Okay, what if you do it in a prelim, then miss the grand final because you injure yourself?
Yeah, there are all sorts of scenarios. Yeah. But, Roo, I want you to dispel a myth here then. You talked about a coach changing the way a player plays. There was so much talk about you in the day that Robert Shaw totally changed the way you play. There were a lot of articles written about that and that it hurt the way you were playing football. You didn't have as good a season as you should have. And I remember the term battering ram was always brought up. Was that true or not?
Yeah, I'm talking about changing a player like Duday to tell him to not go for those two. Right. I've never seen anything like that.
But did that happen with you and Robert Shaw?
Only a little bit. Blighty just said if you keep playing like you'll be finished at 28. Yeah. So just run, get fitter and go at the ball.
Yeah, we actually... The senior players, McDermott, McGinnis, and I went to Shorey and told him Roo shouldn't be playing like this.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. We were worried about his welfare because Roo was, that's what Shorey wanted Roo to do was just physical, hit him off the ball, crash in, bash in.
Sniping,
and
dirty.
No, not snipe, but then we went to Shorey and said, mate.
And what did he say, Jazz?
He just sipped on his
coffee.
That was
your idea at the start of the year. What are you telling me?
He sipped on his coffee. Yeah. And just said, that's how I want him to play.
Hang on.
Yeah, right.
He didn't. That's what Shorey said, Robbie Shaw. But anyway.
Another thing from this week's Crows debacle. Oh. David King. What was a debacle?
Ditz is loving this.
No. I'm reading what's put in front of me here.
I was wild like you, Jazz, at home.
Ditz is saying, I'm reading what's put in front of me, what he typed earlier, and then handed out to the group.
David King, one of the experts on Fox, says that the recruiting of 2018 was one of the biggest blunders at the club. Ooh. And he's named Chase Jones and Jen McHenry. And he's comparing it to Butters and Dersma. We all know that Port had a good year that year with recruiting, but how do you respond to that, Roo?
Can I just say, you can go back over every single year of the draft and criticise. There is not one club that would miss out on criticism if you just went back over every year of the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, we picked up Mitch Thorpe at number 6 and Joel Selwood went at 7, but I mean, you know. Yeah, exactly.
There's millions of examples of that. And look, there's no doubt the speed of the Crows rebuild is going to be decided by how well the draft picks are got. But that at this stage, it's not looking good.
Mm.
And Justin Reid and Hamish Ogilvie and the Crows list management would say that at this stage, it's not where they'd want it to be.
Look, we've nearly run out of time. We'll keep this sports segment really short.
Let's talk about your boys.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about Aaliyah Lear going in the ruck.
Yeah, Roo, you had a bit to say about that.
Roo was spot on.
Can I throw this scenario out to you, though? And I mean this sincerely. It's funny when we often look at a bad loss and you go, oh, the coach didn't make any moves and why didn't they try things? I actually sat on the couch thinking, well, Ken's trying something here. He's put a lyric, but you were really scathing on what Roo, weren't you?
Jared was our producer here. He's with us in the studio, was in the studio at the ground when I said at 5 minutes into the game that this is going to be a talking point for the rest of the game.
Just want to go back to Aaliyah, boys. One of the reasons Sydney were decided to move on is he's not elite fitness. Now, if you're going to chuck him into the ruck, you're going to puff the big fella out. He's going to be far from his best when he goes back. I find it a very strange move.
Who else do you throw in there? Dixon?
Well, Dixon. Or Payton Adams.
He's your best defender.
Yep.
He was recruited to boost your defence because you didn't have a big enough defence to mix it with the big boys. He's had a great year. He is not an endurance athlete. Jeremy Cameron proved that against Geelong when he ran him up the ground and he just couldn't keep up. He was stuffed. You take your best defender out and put him in the ruck when he hates playing in the ruck. That's what he didn't like about being in Sydney. And then your back line gets exposed and you've got Marshall up in the forward line who, look, he does some great things, no doubt about that. I can see the good things. But you got Peter Adams sitting in the twos who's a very good second ruck forward. Yeah. It just didn't make sense to me.
I was listening to this on Triple M, and I listened for about 15 minutes, and I reckon you had a crack at Ken over Aaliyah about 35 times in that 15 minutes.
Oh, I did.
To the point where I thought, has Roo had a punt on Port? Because he is furious.
Oh, big Mark McDonald. I'm a broken record. He's the best forward in their side. Why isn't Aaliyah on Tom McDonald?
Because he's standing out in the middle of the ground, Roo.
I know that, but they got Aaliyah to the football club because their back line wasn't strong enough.
Well, you got to call it, and it's easy to do it in hindsight, but we called it at the start, and I said I could have egg on my face about it. But Aaliyah, they picked 4 tall defenders plus Leonard. They've never done that in the history of their football club.
Mm.
That was the first time I reckon they've ever done it.
Yep.
And I reckon it cost them because McDonald got off the chain in the third quarter. That's who Aaliyah should have been on. There were times the ball went into the Port's forward line that defenders didn't spoil. Aaliyah would have been better at that. They can try things, but I reckon they got that one wrong. And you know what? And all coaches make mistakes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But when you're playing Max Gorn and you're going in the selection with all your assistant coaches and you've got the big screen going, first thing you focus on, right, we've got a double team Max Gorn. So let's play 2 ruckmen.
Jackson's a really good ruckman as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But what about when you're kicking the ball out from behind? Don't kick it straight to Max Gorn. And this is one thing I will be critical of. I will be critical of this. We had a shocking prelim final against Richmond where Port Adelaide continually kicked the ball to Nan Curvis.
Mm.
When we played Richmond this year, we did it again. And we did it with Max Gorn the other night. Can you not learn
Stop kicking it. Now, some people would say, well, why don't you back your own ruckman? But if you're getting beaten, I'm saying, do something different.
Absolutely.
Why not have someone on the opposite wing or someone somewhere else? You've got enough tools out there. Spread the love a bit.
Yep.
Stop kicking it down the throat of their key player.
Yep.
Is that how you saw it?
Surely they would say they don't have options anywhere else.
But there's that many tools out there. You know what, Limo, I think it's quite simple, and clearly I'm wrong. I haven't been out there and done this, but if everyone goes to the outer wing and all the tools are out there, Todd Marshall, for God's sake, run to the members' wing on your own or one of the other tools, or Charlie Dixon present on the other wing.
Yep.
Why do they all stand in the same pack? Mm. Is that a question I could ask? Or
is Laddams entitled to feel like he's not loved down Port Adelaide?
I think so.
He'd be filthy being dropped. Because while Lysett was out, he held his own.
I thought, he's a better second ruckman than the first ruckman.
Exactly.
He's not an aerobic beast. And he
takes
good
a
up
mark
forward.
Forward and kicks a goal too.
Yeah, got some concerns there. You know, there's so much pressure on Boakey and Ollie Wines to fire. Sam Powell Pepper, he's been up and down. Rockcliffe's the biggest loss for me. His footy IQ is enormous in that midfield. And I've missed him. Don't worry about that.
Yep.
The old rock butt.
Yep.
Kenny's got some concerns. Half-back flankers aren't firing a shot. You've got Hartler playing resis.
Yep.
Your vice-captain, Darcy Byrne-Jones, where he gets exposed. Your three gun kids are all banged up and injured and trying to find form.
So the forward line that was star-studded was a little bit...
Yeah. What?
Just didn't...
it hasn't fired because a couple have been out of form. But look, when you look at it on paper, we always say on paper, but at the start of the year, the front six, I thought, looked superb. And
it is superb. But you haven't got Fantasia. Rosie hasn't got into form this year.
Butters is now gone. Dersma.
Just bad luck. So I still got full faith in those guys.
Georgiades.
They have to play Laddams and Marshall out this week. Has to. Georgiades is very hot and cold, but he's developing.
That type of player.
Yep.
How's your run home, Ditch? You've got St Kilda, Collingwood, GWS.
Oh, no.
They've got
risky games. Crows.
But you can't. You won't get out of the top eight, surely. Ditch.
Sorry.
You won't get.
No, it's only whether they finish top four or
and
fifth.
Carlton.
Who?
Sydney's creeping
up. They're sixth or seventh best side in the comp.
What would happen if you finished fifth and got knocked out? Seriously,
massive.
I'm not saying it.
No, you would have to say it's a fail. Big fail.
Well, what happens if you got top four and lost two in a row?
Yeah,
against
big
sides because you couldn't beat a top eight.
No,
side.
It's a big fail, and you have to look at
so
it that way.
So what does Kenny need? Because you gave him a contract extension.
Look, we need everyone firing.
Year.
Hang on. We need everyone firing. Now, and this is an excuse, but I think it's a valid one. People like Robbie Gray and the young boys that have been injured, the defenders that have been injured. Yeah. We need all of them playing at the same time. And maybe it can happen in the lead into September. Who knows? It could happen. And maybe they fire at the right time. But if they don't, if what you just said happens, Roo, you've got to turn the joint upside down. Remember the statement at the start of the year is three flags in 5 years, 100,000 members. Yeah, I don't shy away from that personally. Mm. That's what we've said, and that's what we have to aim for. Mm. And if we don't, you bloody ask questions and you do something about it.
I honestly think you've got a list that you can win a premiership with, and I genuinely thought at the start of the year you could.
Are they middle in the window? Are they
they've got some older players that are going to finish in the next couple of years, but they've got the best crop of kids coming through as well. They've sort of got a bit of a gap in the middle, which is where they have to fill.
Rosie and Butters coming out of the middle with a strong body player. Like Ollie Wine should still be there in a couple of years.
Ollie will be.
So maybe. I think
you're only going to really lose Boak, Gray, and Dixon, which
in the
probably
next
pretty
years.
Good players.
Yeah, but I think the talent to replace them is pretty good. So, I'm still very, very hopeful.
Yep.
But can't just talk about it. You've got to win games.
I haven't written them off for the year yet.
St Kilda won't be easy this week either.
No.
St Kilda in red hot form.
Great form.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
All right, that's Port Adelaide and the Crows. Now, the Collingwood coaching job. We've talked about this quite a few times on the bump. Things have changed a little bit. The names now are Michael Voss, Don Pike.
There are a couple that they're talking about. There'll be a lot of others.
Are they going to chat with them, sit down with them?
If there's no Clarkson, if he's out and Lyon's out,
okay,
then... Like, I've done this a few times. All you do is cast the net. You have a look at every club. You put them in there, and you start with and you go through them, and you assemble whatever the field is, and then you interview them. So that's what they'd be doing now. And if they're going to Voss, they'd be talking to heaps of blokes.
Lee, mate, you were quite adamant this morning. We were having a chat when we arrived in the building. Clarkson's going nowhere.
He's not going anywhere.
So how do you know that for
well,
sure?
Well, I'll say you can make this outside assessment. Anyone can make this outside assessment. Give me one example of Clarko not keeping his word. in the entire time he's been at Hawthorn.
Very good point.
You will not find
probably the time where he did say to the Crows that he'll come and coach. Oh.
Next Tuesday, there'll be an announcement to say that the Adelaide Crows have signed Alistair Clarkson to a 5-year deal, 1.4 a year.
Another Darren Jarman made up exclusive. Andrew Jarman made up exclusive.
Oh, he's called me Darren. You f***ing idiot.
And Darren played at Hawthorn, so you should know.
No, you're right.
He has never, ever,
and he said he's going to coach there next year. He will coach there next year. And all of these stories are just made up by the media searching for a story, because it's a hot topic at the moment.
There's a few stories out there yesterday saying that if he did decide to go, there'd be a few people at Hawthorn actually pretty happy.
Well, I don't know who they would be. Who would they be?
I've got zero idea. I didn't write the article. But that's what footy journalists are saying.
Certainly not the fans. The fans want him to stay. And I'll tell you this. He loves the succession plan to Sam Mitchell. It may not be on his timeline, but he loves that. And he's not going to leave Sam Mitchell in the lurch. Sam Mitchell's coached, what, 7, 10 VFL games? And that's it. He's going to be a great coach.
Does he get on well with Jeff Kennett? Seriously?
Clarko?
Yes.
They definitely have their differences.
Did he get on well with Graham Wright?
100%.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
Why is Graham Wright at Collingwood?
Why is he at Collingwood? Just, you know, something different.
I was going to say another statement about Clarko.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Because it gets me in trouble.
You can't say that to people.
Hang on.
He signed a 5-year deal at Collingwood.
Because you said that one about Port Adelaide at the start of the year.
Port Adelaide won't lose a game again this year. Port Adelaide will not lose a game this year. They are at another level. There's Richmond, Port, and there's Daylight.
They just wouldn't lose another game for the
year. Don't quote me on that.
Quote me on that.
So you reckon, have you got mail that he's going to Collingwood?
No, I haven't got any mail. You idiot. No, I'm just right. Richmond won't play finals.
They've got 7 or so gun players out, like a few of the sides. You reckon they'll sneak? They're 12th at the moment.
I don't care. They will come home. Their performance over
the
weekend.
Did you watch the last quarter against Collingwood?
Yes, I did.
They had three tackles.
Yeah, I know they did.
In a big quarter. Let's have a look.
Let's have a look at their run home.
It is fair to say. You do lose your passion at times. Yeah.
Well, you'd know that.
Brisbane. They're not going to beat Brisbane.
Well, you just don't know. Was that this
Geelong?
Week? Is that this week?
So
they've lost 4 in a row, and they're heading into Brisbane.
And Geelong the week
after. Brisbane are off a loss.
And Geelong the week after that.
Yeah. Who else?
Then they've got Frio in Perth.
Well, that's not easy.
They could lose that easy.
Yeah.
Then they've got North Melbourne at the MCG.
No, that's not easy. They're out.
That's Jarz's favourite new side, North Melbourne.
Then they've got GWS.
Well, that on their day, GWS are good.
That is tough.
And they finish with Hawthorn.
They're tanking.
Easy. What do you reckon, Ruth? They're done?
There's not good signs there. Okay. There's not good signs. Kane Corns actually said that he thinks Trent Cotchin should retire. He reckons the game's past him.
Retire? What?
Past him. That's what he said yesterday.
Couldn't he play cross half back?
Well, that's where there's a bit of talk about that, but...
Did he go on to say that Trent should be given 12 games and then retire, or did he just say retire now?
Oh,
300.
It's an interesting old Richmond. Is it the end of an era?
You know, it's hard to stay up there, isn't it?
They've got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, yeah. Just to finish on today, now the Crows did suffer their worst loss in their history. You blokes, tell us. I want to know the worst loss you've been involved in. Yeah. Rue, you go first.
I played in a couple. Yeah. I remember once going over to Western Australia was the hardest trip in football for a long time, when the Eagles were pumped up to the eyeballs and winning premierships and playing on Subiaco that felt like it was about the same distance from Wakery to Loxton. The Oval was that long. But we were playing there. We weren't very good. They were great. And one game we were, I think it was 22 goals down. And I remember running back from another goal, the ball flying over my head, running back, and I looked over at Simon Tregenza. He was running back to the wing, and I looked at him, and we both started laughing. So this is not going to plan today.
No. Who was the coach?
That would have either been Cornsey Studley. or
Wasn't the night coming kick 14, was it?
No, it was a different night. That was a good night. That was another one, that was Ayrsy. That was the fourth game into Ayrsy's reign, and he kicked 14 at the Wacker.
That's right. It was at the Wacker.
Was it the Wacker?
I was there that night. Now, I'll tell you another night I called some footy was you're at the Gabba, and it might have been Neil Craig's first game or one of his very first games.
Yeah, that was only 140 points. That one. We lost by 140
against
Brisbane when they were at their best.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And we were sort of a bit disillusioned. Yeah. I remember
140 points.
I described it after the game. Brisbane's midfield were running through us, and I was just picturing a gill net, like a fish net, and the fish were just swimming straight through it. Like, I just, just couldn't stop them. They were just running straight through you.
And what do you, when you get down to the rooms after that loss, like what happens in the rooms?
Depends on what occasion.
You just go and have a hot shower, get a frothy.
Sometimes you're ready to kill someone. Yeah, sometimes you're ready to, the coach to get sacked. Sometimes players are at the end of their careers. There's all different periods of a football club you go through, or sometimes you just have a bad day. So,
and then you wait for the after that post-game spray from the coach when he tells you, get in the room, and you go, oh, God.
Did you get a spray from the coach after the 140-point loss, or did he just let it go?
I think he knew that, we had a little bit of ground to make up. You know, the funny thing about that team, it was the exact same team the next year. No, we had no different players from 04 to 05, and we won the minor premiership the next year.
Isn't that incredible? How
just
you can
by
turn
getting
around.
Your head right, have a good summer, focused on what you're doing. Mm. Stop, start, keep,
What about you, Dits? No, I want to go to you first. So bad losses.
Would have been 92. We were playing Moorabbin down there. Plugger Locket was on fire. And we were going in the bus on the way to the ground where we used to get in the back, and the young kids will Rue and McLeod. And
I wasn't there in 92.
Oh, 92. Okay, sorry. And then Cornsy got up the front of the bus and turned around and said, right, who wants to stand Plugger? And little Benny Hart, I think Benny was playing, put his hand up. So I'll take him. And we've gone, no, Benny. Well, quarter time, it was 14 goals to 2 points. Plugger had 9. And Cornsy wanted me to sit in the hole. I said, no, thanks.
No, thanks. Did you argue with the coach again? And say,
I just said, as the architect of the side, I need to be upfield. Higher up, trying to stop Winmar and Harvey and Burke.
Is that the same game where Rocket Maynard was holding on to Plugger and Plugger turned around and said, if you do that, you'll miss 6 with a broken nose, and I'll lose 8 for striking.
I was horrible dicks those games.
Horrible. So you had a few bad losses in those early days. Yeah.
On the SCG one day, John Carl's coaching Port, and Plugger's playing full four for the Swans. He says to Dave Arnfield, the runner, go and stand in the hole in front, just stand at centre half forward in front of Plugger. And he's there for about 10 seconds, and Plugger says, hey, get off or get killed. So Dave Arnfield sprints off and sits on the bench, and John Carl's looking around and goes, where's Arnie? He's meant to be out, and he gets on the phone and goes, Arnie, I told you to stand out there. He said, you go and stand out there.
Plugger was a frightening piece of work.
Peter Cavan ended up showing us all what can happen if you stand in the hole in front of Plugger.
Plugger was
he
scary
was
as
my idol.
I know.
Plugger.
He was scary as him and Gary Ablett Sr. were the two fright and Dermy.
What about when he smashed Dipper that day?
Oh, that was one of the most brutal. You could feel the air coming out of Dipper. That was one of the most brutal and deliberate.
Yeah. Oh, 110%.
Deliberate. Just lifted his knee.
That's
and
8 games now.
Would you get games for that
the
now?
The day he threw his crutches at Eddie McGuire, I thought that was good.
That was a good crutch. He must have been very good at javelin,
Plugger. Oh, man, Dipper got... And Dipper played out the game, by the way, and got into countless blues with Buddha Hocking.
Yeah.
Dits, had any bad losses?
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, I ran into a bloke in the street just the other day, and he said, remember when you first broke into first grade in Adelaide? He said, I played and I gave you a toweling. I said, you did, but I was 10 years old.
He's playing an adult squash at 10.
I mean, to be fair.
What was his name?
Oh, I don't know. Someone can or something. I don't know.
So anyway.
Someone can. All right, and?
What about you?
Oh, Lemo.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. You won every game you played. Yeah, what about you? Three votes.
Nearly rude.
Did you play any bad losses?
Well, thanks for asking. Brownswell, under 17, Colts.
Brownswell. Where is Brownswell?
Brownswell, brown and gold.
That's right.
Brownswell, Murray Mallee. But right. we play in the independent Riverland League.
Yes.
So all the little towns around the Riverland.
That's the lower
we, yeah, we played Cobb Dogler one day in the under 17s. I'm pretty sure it ended up Cobb Dogler 44 goals, 24 to us one behind.
Hard to beat Cobby at Cobby.
They're very strong at home.
So the fullback got to have one kick then. He got to kick the ball back in. Did you get the votes?
That was it. I think we might have missed out on the votes that day. I don't even think we put best players in.
Who's the best Cobby player ever?
Yeah.
The best Cobb Dogler player ever. Escapes my mind right now. I'm sure there's been a few over the years.
Well
done,
you boys.
You've been listening to The Bump. We'll do it all. Put this in again. You've been listening to The Bump. Enjoy your week of footy. We'll do it all again next week.